Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. I hope you've had a great week this last week. In the second hour, I'm very pleased to be interviewing Catherine Tickell, Northumbrian piper, fiddler, composer, recording artist and educator. Catherine is the recipient of the Queen's Medal for Music for outstanding contribution to British music, the Musician of the Year in BBC Radio 2's Folk Awards, and very recently the Order of the British Empire, or OBE, in the Queen's Birthday Honours List for services to folk music. She's widely acclaimed as the foremost exponent of the Northumbrian pipe, so really looking forward to finding out more about her and her art. That's coming up in the second hour. For questions that matter this week, we consider, do we have more in common than divides us? I've been out and about getting opinions aimed at starting us thinking. And the first person that I spoke to was Kokoro. So let's hear what he had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
My name is Kokoro.
Well, thank you so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, do we have more in common than divides us? I'm wondering if you feel, if you think about the human race, that we do have more in common than divides us. We see a lot of division in the world, but I'm just wondering what your feeling is.
We have a lot of division in the world in terms of ideas, but the human race most certainly has more in common than what divides us. I think, yes.
So when you meet people, do you tend to focus on how they differ from you or things that you have in common, do you think?
I try to imagine every person that I see laughing, actually.
Okay.
So that's one of my little meditations that I do.
What does that conjure up for you if they're laughing?
If they're laughing, it just, I see them at their best. And so seeing them at their best makes me happy, and hopefully I emit that towards them and it makes them happy.
I can imagine that might be a good thing to do if somebody's coming from not a good place or a bit grumpy or stressed or something. If you can do that, then you would see them maybe outside of what's making their current circumstance. Do you think?
Well, yes, it applies to that as well as, you know, you today, just right now. I mean, as I was walking past you, I actually imagined you laughing. So.
And what was that like, imagining
that? It was fantastic. I really rather enjoyed it. It was good.
So, the opening of the United States Declaration of Independence states, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And we tend to think about this in terms of rights and privileges, you know, that we all deserve the same opportunities and respect. Uh-huh. Obviously, these are important things, but I'm wondering how it would be if we thought about it more in terms of all men or all people are created equal in terms of our humanity. And I'm wondering if you think of yourself as defined by your humanness rather than by your gender or your religion or your ethnicity. Is that how you think about yourself, or how do you think about yourself?
Interestingly enough, every time I have to answer the question what my race is, I always put human.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Because yeah. It's the human race. It matters not what religion, what ethnicity. We're all humans. So if that answers your question for myself, yes.
Yeah. Do you ever think of yourself as a spirit or a soul rather than, you know, a body? And I think sometimes that can help to think of us more as equal, you know, than if we're just looking at what people look like or how they are.
Most certainly. For myself, you as an example are an extension of myself. The person who might be homeless, I look at as an extension of myself. We are all connected in that way, in my limited view. But yeah, good or bad or indifferent, we're all one.
Right.
Yeah.
And our beliefs and our behaviors can seem very different, but if we drop down to the levels of values. Often we have much more in common than we think. For instance, sort of politically, you might have the left and the right thinking about the poor. You know, they want to help them raise out of poverty. One would say, well, they should, you know, do it of their own, you know, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. The other one might say, well, they need programs. Very different sort of beliefs, but the value perhaps of compassion underlying that is similar. So I'm wondering, do you ever think about values connecting us as opposed to behaviors and beliefs, or do you tend to see more behaviors and beliefs, do you think?
I tend to see more behaviors and beliefs and less values, and that's for a myriad of reasons. As a culture, we have a tendency to focus on beliefs rather than on values. If we were to teach values, then we would have even more in common, because values are truths that exist, you know, for a long time, whereas beliefs change depending upon what's the newest thing in fashion. Beliefs in terms of family, in terms of care and compassion for individuals, for one another, that's a core value. That's something that we can build upon that.
Do you think if we concentrated more on values, it would help us all get along better?
Most certainly. You know, most certainly. We don't talk enough about values. I have a teenage daughter, and the discussion that I have with her consistently is this consistent with your values? If your decisions are being made and they are consistent with your values, you're in a good place. If you're making decisions that are inconsistent with your values, you're headed towards a less than desirable place. So focus in on values. Values are very important. We don't spend enough time thinking about value.
Yeah, and they cross cultures and genders and religions as well. I mean, there's so much division in religion, and yet a lot of the core values of the major religions are quite similar.
Most certainly. Yes, the value of love is very, very similar, but they come about it in different ways. You know, if you have my religion, then I can love you. If you have a different religion, then I can't love you. And if we look at the founders of those religions, I don't think Jesus would be having a fight with Muhammad, as an example.
No.
That probably wouldn't happen.
No, exactly. Yeah.
They might tell a few jokes, share some values, but I doubt that they'd be, you know, coming up against arms with one another or calling one an infidel or the other one a non-believer. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. Well, next, I spoke to Hank, so let's hear what he had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Hank.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about, do we have more in common than divides us? I'm thinking, if you think about the human race, do you think we have more in common than divides us?
No, I think we have more that divides us than in common.
Okay, what about things like, you know, we all want to be safe, we want to be happy, we want the best for our children. We want to be loved. We want to feel that our potential is fulfilled. Do you think these are things that could create more of a sense of commonality?
They could, but in America, everyone has so much that on the hierarchy of needs, people really don't concern themselves with those things, and maybe they have more time to concern themselves with sort of the group effort, and so they start to look at things like political opinions, and those are the things that become divisive.
I'm just interested, when you said about the hierarchy of needs, what do you mean? Because most people in America have their lower needs met, so they're seeking higher needs, so how is that making them feel more divisive?
Well, that they're pursuing sort of intellectual, they have intellectual curiosity, and they're, you know, sort of always looking for a fight or whatever.
Sort of, yeah. Almost too much time to think. Almost.
Yeah, maybe there is too much time to think, and not that that's a bad thing, but I don't feel that in this country, you know, there's a good sense of community, you know, due to maybe in a blue state like California, there's more, but the media cycle is just so intense that it's constantly barraging you with all the different things that keep us apart.
Yeah.
It's the media. I think the media is a huge part of the problem, and in the fact that we give the media too much attention.
Mm.
Maybe it should be a lesser part of our existence.
There is a thought that it's beliefs and behaviors that really make us feel different. If we drop down a level to values, then we have a lot more in common, particularly perhaps politically. You know, there might be a common impetus of, say, compassion to deal with certain things, but then the way that's suggested to deal with that may be completely the opposite. And so it feels like we're really different, but if we thought about what do we have in common on a value level, is that something you could see?
Well, but yeah, I think that there's a lot of truth in that, but we never seem to come together unless there's some kind of emergency. I mean, America or people in general, if somebody's in need or whatever, they'll pull together because maybe they sense themselves in that person. But again, we're not always in need or we're not always in an emergency situation. And so we sort of, you know, I don't know, we sort of forget all those kinds of things. And I'm as guilty of it as the next person.
I was thinking, you know, we're all supposedly, you know, or it's assumed in America we're all created equal. If we think of that in terms of humanness rather than just in terms of rights, I think it brings us more to the level you're talking about that we're not at. I mean, do you ever think of yourself as being a human rather than, you know, a white male or whatever, however you might, you know, characterize yourself?
Do you? Absolutely. I mean, I think of myself as a human all the time. And I think that the dignity accorded to the least of us is the dignity that's is only the level of dignity that is accorded to the race or to the entire human existence. So, I mean, I think a lot, I do think of that. And I do think of, you know, people that are mistreated and poor and all those kinds of things. Mm. And but, you know, there's a difference between thinking about something and doing something. Mm. And how much can the individual really do?
Mm. Do you have any ideas about
besides give an interview on the street?
Right. Perhaps it's not inconsequential because maybe your thoughts will make listeners think about things differently.
Yeah, I don't know. Mark Maron did a podcast, you know, Mark Maron, and he just interviewed the president, and the president was talking about these exact same things of how, you know, we can be, you know, less divisive and how, you know, the... And how, you know, race and how all that stuff enters it and you know, have we made progress? And yeah, and I think we have. There was a study recently that, you know, in the 1950s, only 4% of the people thought that it was okay for blacks and whites to marry. Now it's closer to like 85% of they think it's okay for blacks and whites to marry. Now, even if that percentage is inflated due to the fact that somebody doesn't want to look bad and say what they're really feeling, it's still a number that's 10 times what it was, yeah, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely progress being made, but again, we get back to the news cycle, and that isn't the kind of thing that, you know, gets people to tune in, you know. That's why even though Fox News is such a, you know, such a, just a sort of a joke in terms of its intellectual stance, it still has a viewership, a pretty substantial and committed viewership because of, you know, because of the way they are so divisive. It just seems like it's a, you know, an easier place to stand sometimes, you know, than, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like reality shows are sort of cheap, you know, artistically. Fox is like cheap kind of, you know, in the news world because it's easy to just create a sort of dogfight or whatever and people are going to stop and watch that, you know, rather than trying to create something that's more sophisticated and nuanced and perhaps takes, you know, more time to present and also to consume.
Yeah, but I don't think reality shows are the core of the American problem. I mean, we've had reality shows for thousands of years. I mean, you know, Shakespeare was a reality show. So but people are actually
that was incredible art. I don't think, you know.
No, but I mean, it was a way to escape. At the time, it was the way they escaped, and people just want to go home and sort of forget their issues and forget their problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know that people went to Shakespeare back in, you know, when was Shakespeare, 1550 or whatever, and they went to Shakespeare to sort of like really contemplate the meaning like we do now. They went for entertainment, and that's what reality shows are, entertainment. But there is a That's what scares me about the Republicans, is that they're sort of anti-education, and really the only way that we'll ever, you know, have a populace that thinks is if they go into a formal environment and, you know, in a way being taught to think, right, and, and taught to think critically. So the idea that 10, 20, 30% of Americans have college degrees, and in 20 years it's 40, and another 20 years it's 50, those are the kinds of things, and that's why, you know, fighting against, you know, efforts to curtail education and fighting for efforts to make it more affordable and not these people graduating with these crazy debt loads and all that kind of stuff. It's just it's just critical for the future of the human race. And really the big lift, the big sort of free lift has been the internet, right? And it will you know, it's a place to cheaply educate the world. So I think consciousness will be the level of consciousness will be consciousness raising will be exponential over the next 10 or 15 years. I think, you know, if we can get the climate, you know, the global warming thing under control, there's a potential we'll make it. But
would you see that education explosion as a way of increasing our sense of commonality?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not just that we all think alike or that we necessarily all become Democrats or liberals, but we all we don't become dogmatic in our thinking, and we have the ability to sort of reason out things and sort of are educated in the process of reasoning, and you know can see the path more easily that needs to be taken and not have divisiveness around that, you know. But even Obama, in his interview with Mark Maron, said democracy is a series of very small baby steps, and we don't always get, you know, the full thing that we wanted.
Yes.
We get partial things that we want, and then we just have to wait and go the next round, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, thank you very much for your views. I really appreciate it.
All right, it's good to talk to you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Ocean's black, the steamer lane. No white horses to play the game. And I wish I about you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, baby, just go nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore, and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations and our topic this week, do we have more in common than divides us? And the Out and About feature is designed to get us thinking, so I'm wondering, where is your mind going with this right now? If you imagine I had stopped you in the street and asked you these questions, what do you think you would have responded? Remember, if you have any comments on this, you can email me at ruth@itsaquestionofbalance.com. I'd love to hear your opinions. Well, the next person that I spoke to was Israelia. So let's hear what she had to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name?
Israelia.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're thinking about, do we have more in common than divides us? So we look around, there's a lot of division in the world, men, women, race, religion. But I'm wondering, if you think about the human race, do you think we have more in common than divides us?
Definitely.
And what would you see those things as being?
Just the basics. Just, you know, we all love, we all, you know, have to survive. We all have real basic needs, and if we can just focus on those and, you know, the inherent good in people, I think we'd be a lot better off.
Right. When you meet people, do you tend to focus on how they differ from you or what you have in common?
I think it's evolved over the course of my life. I think I look much more at what I have in common with people now than when I was younger, for sure.
And I'm wondering, when we think about we're all created equal, you know, in terms of being Americans, do you ever think about that in terms of humanness rather than rights and privileges, that we're created equal in terms of we're all human beings and that is what gives us our commonality? Do you think of yourself as a human sometimes?
I hope so, yes.
You know what I mean, yes. Rather than like a young white woman or whatever. Or
I think that's where we all have to go in order to, you know, live in the kind of society that we want, right? We have to go beyond all the politics and all, you know, the superficial things, because we are human and that's ultimately what makes us identify with one another.
Why do you think that we focus so much more on difference or see difference as dividing us rather than seeing difference as something interesting?
I don't know. I think, you know, our political system perpetuates that, certainly. Our educational system perpetuates that, you know. Yeah. I think it's, we all like to be part of something. And so in that quest to be part of something, it makes us different from other things, you know. But, I mean, I think there can be a balance there. I think we can, you know, find that balance. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I wish I knew.
Do you ever think of yourself as a sort of a, on a spiritual level, like as a spirit or a soul? And do you think that's a way that we might feel we have more in common, because we have this sort of vital essence in a way that's beyond what we see? Is that something you ever think about?
Sure. I mean, I think about, you know, all the levels of that, you know, whether it's humanness or, you know, just beyond our humanness and our spirituality and stuff like that. I'd like to think that there is. I don't know. And I think if more people just thought on those levels, it would be a good thing.
Yeah.
For sure. But, I don't know. Sure, we all have that journey that, you know, we try to seek that out, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, I think it's an interesting thought, because when we ask, do we have more in common than divides us? I mean, it's very easy to say we don't. You know, it's like, you're a man, I'm a woman. We're Mars, you know, Mars, Venus,
sure.
All of that. You're black, I'm white. You know, you're a Muslim, you're Christian. No, we have nothing in common. I mean, that's kind of how the world is set up, isn't it? So it's sort of like a flip around to try and think, well, what do we have in common?
Well, all it takes is talking to people and you realize that, you know, you transcend all those things, you know. I mean, you can be different religions and realize that at the end of the day, where, you know, all those religions are based in the same, you know, things, and we all are looking for the same things. And if you can go there with other people, then it's really liberating, I think, you know. But most people don't take the time to really just talk to people and, you know, sort of get beyond all of that. Right, so you just have a superficial interaction where then you are just assessing someone.
That's all you can do. That's all you see, you know.
Yeah.
But it takes really stopping and talking and, you know, seeing what, you know, really moves people and motivates them to realize that you have these similarities, you know.
Yeah.
You're not. I mean, all the religions. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, at the base, they're all the same. They all are seeking, everyone's seeking the same thing.
Yeah.
So, it's, and if you just accept that and realize that, then it doesn't matter what, you know, the how you get there, why you, you know, it's just, you're all trying to get to the same place.
Yeah. And like you said, if you talk to people and you feel that connection, then... Then I think difference becomes interesting because you feel a connection,
sure.
But then learning about how they think and things like becomes interesting, doesn't it? Rather than like thinking, oh, they're weird or whatever.
As long as you're, you know, whatever box you put yourself in has the capacity to, you know, to allow yourself to, you know, kind of think outside of it, then it is interesting. Yeah. I think it's scary for a lot of people who don't, you know, and that's part of our problem is, you know, the dogma that a lot of people live under is just really restrictive. And so difference is scary because difference means that your way is not the right way.
Mm.
Right. And so that's all ridiculous, really.
That's kind of ironic.
It's totally ridiculous.
Well, I was thinking it's kind of ironic in a way because you've got people who are trying to find safety and in commonality, but it's limited. Like, you know, I want to be with other Christians of this particular sect or whatever, and then I'll feel safe. But actually, that's what creates the division, isn't it? That's sort of sad in a way.
Well, I think you can find that. You can find your community. Mm. You can find, you know, safety in your familiarity, and sure. But that doesn't mean you have to close yourself off to, you know, everyone else because of that, or make yourself really different. I mean, you know, we all have customs, and when they're special and they're unique, they're, you know, ones we grew up with, and they're meaningful to us and not meaningful to other people, and that's great. That makes us all different, you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that other people's customs are less meaningful or less interesting. It just means they're not ours, you know, and it's rich if you think about it and learn about other people's, but, you know, when you're afraid of other people's customs and somehow, that's the part I don't get is when other people's threaten your own way, that's the part, that's what, you know, breeds the fear and the division and the hatred and all that, when, you know.
Well, it's the kind of hierarchical thing, isn't it? If you're feeling better and feeling self-righteous about whatever your beliefs are or how you are, you know, which is the whole white supremacy thing, just by the very fact of having white skin, you're better. I mean, that's hard to understand.
Everyone, you know, you can look in every culture and have those extremists and, you know.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you so much for your views. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, my On the Street Conversations, thanks to Israelia there. And next, I spoke to Brandon, Alec and Renee. So let's see what they had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Alec. Brandon.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do we have more in common than divides us? You know, looking out into the world, we can see a lot of division racially, you know, on gender, religious grounds. But I'm just wondering, if you think of the human race, do you think we have more in common than divides us?
Well, I believe that with all varying religions, with Christianity and all its sects, as well as Buddhism, the overall aspect that they're trying to communicate is that we are one and the same. It is all religions, not one religion. It is all races, not one race. And the whole concept of racism as a creation of division is because it created racism in the first place, or I mean racism created itself in the first place. It created race, and it wasn't race, it wasn't our differences that created racism. It was an aspect within compartmentalized mind that we chose to hold on to due to various conditioned stimulus.
I mean, we're obviously not all the same externally, so I guess what I'm thinking about with this question is there a commonality of humanness or spirit or whatever that goes through us all, regardless of whether we're a man or a woman or white or black?
In regards to spirit, I feel like on a macrocosm level, the earth is one organism that we're a part of. Like, I breathe for the trees and the trees breathe for me. That's something I learned in elementary school. And I found it to be like a spiritual teaching that I've carried my whole life. But I feel like we are all part of one organism, and we...
It gave me shivers when you said that. It's a beautiful way of thinking how we all interrelate, yeah.
We seem to forget things like that, you know? We're always too concerned about ourselves, you know? And our own problems, you know? But, like, there's a bigger picture, you know? We're all part of a small little ball in the universe.
Yeah.
I mean, when you meet somebody, do you tend to focus on how they are different from you or how they're the same? Do you assess people in that way?
I stay non-judgmental. Yeah, I stay non-judgmental, and I let people show me their character, and I get to see them for who they are, you know. And there's this little girl that we all chill with, and we talk about building trust blocks, you know. So, like, I let people build those up with me, you know. And but I never, like, look at someone for what they're wearing or how they speak or what their skin color is or what kind of, like, religious emblems they may be wearing or any of that. Like, I don't care, you know? If you're good, you're good.
What about you? Do you think difference is generally thought of as a bad thing in society or an interesting thing?
I'd like to refer to Einstein in this particular circumstance, in that you cannot judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, or else it will always think of itself as an idiot. And I think that's the same thing that goes with anyone. If someone is short, then they will have an ability to go into small spaces. If someone is tall, then they will be able to reach high places. But whether that makes someone great or less than is... I don't believe that's up to debate, really, because there's so many facets within our reality and within this thing we call Earth that is available to do, and each role is specifically important, and just our breath and just our intentions laced into the breath with going to the trees and going to each other, that all of that's an interconnected thing, I think is just a good point to realize.
Everything and everyone has its place. Feel
I mean, there is an idea also that one of the things that divides us is beliefs and behaviors, whereas if we focus more on values, often those we have more in common. You know, if you drop down a level from the beliefs, I mean, if you look at religion, you know, a lot of the world religions do have common values, but then if you look at the specific beliefs, even within, say, Christianity, there's so many different beliefs, and yet it is all founded on love. I mean, is that something that you see could help us to feel we have more in common, maybe focusing on values? Is that something you've thought about?
Values, if taken to a place where they negate someone else's freedom,
okay,
take away. However, there are places
when
that
values
that exist.
Someone else's standards, is that what you're talking about?
Like standard, yeah.
Like when a value becomes someone else's standard, like instead of it being a value anymore, it's like
sort
this
of a
is
judgment or?
This is a standard, and if you don't abide by it.
Okay, I think
I have an opinion.
Yeah. Okay, what is your name?
Renee Driscoll.
Okay.
I believe that everyone has their own ability to choose what they value.
Right.
Whatever it is, they'll find the answer.
Yeah.
Whether it's negative or positive, or, you know, something that you didn't think of, that's something in between, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same,
right,
same idea. That's why it's philosophy or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what I was thinking of in terms of values, if you think politically, for instance, you think about how to help the poor, you know, then the liberals think more you should have programs.
Yeah.
Conservatives think they should pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. You could argue that both of them are coming from a place of compassion. They just have a different belief about how to...
It's all about perspective.
Right. So what I'm saying is that often it's like if you think the basis of Christianity and, say, Buddhism, for instance, is love, that would be the value.
Right.
But then you go beyond that and suddenly there's all these beliefs that you have to do this and do the other, and, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church arguing about
that's
does the bread and...
standard being applied to the value.
Yeah, I think I have a more coherent thought on this.
Okay.
So you can use values as a filter for self.
Okay.
But the moment that you put that filter on someone else, it becomes a judgment, and suddenly this other person cannot live through their values.
Even they, love or compassion or something like that?
What is that defined by? Is love looking at someone else and judging them?
I think it's what you said.
Ever? I mean, if you apply that lens to yourself and you respond to that, then you are responding in love. Then that's okay. But if you're using this filter that you use for yourself to be able to straighten yourself in your life, and you apply that to someone else as if they should do it, then that creates a problem. And I'll give you an example here.
Okay.
Because there's all these things happening in Africa where you have all of these colonists who come over and they say these people need help. When they're indigenous, they grow their own food, they had water figured out, they weren't warring with each other until all of these countries came in and decided to help them.
Yeah.
So there's a visceral, like, event that happened that you can, like, look at and see.
These are our values.
It's not hypothetical.
These are our values.
Yeah.
We're trying to share them with you forcibly.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And that creates...
That's when the value becomes
standard. I would characterize those as beliefs in the way I'm talking about it, because...
Everything in this world, I feel, has to do with perspective. Like a bird and an ant, you know? The bird eats the ant. The ant's like... Oh no, bird's coming, it's gonna eat me. Eventually, after the bird lives its life and it's dead on the ground, ant eats the bird. Karma, you know? Perspective, it's all... whose eyes looking at it, you know?
Yeah. So if we track back to the beginning of this, to whether you think we have more in common than divides, is if we do, what is that commonality to you?
The fact that we're all stuck on the same ball in the middle of the universe, breathing the same air, you know?
With perhaps the same goals of wanting to be loved and wanting to be happy and wanting our children to be safe and have a good life.
Sure, that's the idea.
I would like to hope that that is what everyone wants when they wake up and before they go to bed.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to hope, because that's what I want for everyone.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just at the World Peace Prayer near Ashland, and there was this woman called Grandma Aggie. She was with the Lakota tribe. She was sharing a bunch of stories. I relate to her in this moment. We're all in this leaky boat canoe. We're all in this leaky canoe together, so don't go sticking your swords around, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Don't go poking more holes. That's not what's going to fix the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And we're all in the same boat. That's what I think people miss is, you know, when you see difference everywhere, then you don't see yourself in the same boat.
We're all here together. We're all here together, you know? Like, if I see trash on the ground, I pick it up, you know? Because this is my planet, too.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations this week. We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with more from Out and About after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com. Dream, baby, dream. Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations on our topic this week. Well, next I spoke to Rachel and Keith, so let's hear their thoughts.
Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Keith.
Rachel.
Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week we're looking at, do we have more in common than divides us? If you think of the human race, what is your thought? Do you think we have more in common than divides us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we have more in common than divides us. Yeah. We're all human. We all respond to things generally the same way. Sad things happen, we get sad. Happy things happen, we get happy.
So. Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, I think that the things that tend to divide us are people actually have in common. Yeah. That you know, they have something in, or we have something in common, and we see it slightly differently, and so we think that's a division when really it's more of something that we relate to each other about.
Do you think of yourself as defined by your humanness rather than by your gender or your ethnicity or your religion? I mean,
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. I can't even think of another word. But yes. Yeah, I don't go walking around thinking like, I'm a woman, therefore I have to think this way, or I'm white, so I have to think this way. It's more of a human thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And is that maybe a spiritual thing? I mean, do you think of yourself more as a sort of spirit, perhaps? And or is that a way of thinking of ourselves, do you think, that could connect us more? And then, you know, the difference, how that spirit is being expressed, you know, in terms of whether you are like a young white woman or whatever, is something else. Do you think that kind of essence, do you ever think of yourself in that way or not really?
Yeah, I think that people have a real spirituality around them. You can walk into a place and feel a presence, or you can walk into a location and feel good vibes or bad vibes, and that's a real thing that I think a lot of people don't give a lot of credit to. And it's something to be taken seriously. And it's something that everyone has in common. Everyone's walked into your room and felt like, oh, I don't like it here. You know, why is that? You know?
But it's also a little, I feel like it's hard for me to answer that question because I am white. And being white, I haven't had to deal with a lot of the things that people of color have had to deal with.
Yes.
And so I feel like, in a way, society has made it so that I'm more free to think that way. Mm, you know, I don't walk into a room and think about my color or my gender, because, and again, my gender too. I don't have to. So I'm in a position where, and I mean, luckily I realize this, you know, a lot of people don't realize this.
Yes.
But I am in a position where I haven't really had to think that way. And that's definitely something that divides, obviously things are going on in our country that divides people. Is the way that they, you know, someone walks into a room and says, you know, I have to think about my color, and that's really unfortunate, you know.
Yes.
And you know, growing up in California, it's a lot easier because it's, you know, people think a little bit more progressively, a little more openly, and it's nicer. But in other parts of the country, they don't think that way.
No. I mean, I've suggested some possible ways we could feel more connected, you know, in terms of thinking of ourselves as being human or more of the spiritual. I mean, how do you think we can rise above seeing difference and making that a bad thing? Because I think, you know, difference is interesting, isn't it? And we're obviously blatantly not the same in many, many ways.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I don't think that we can't have a sense of global community. Right. But what would create that for you?
I think a real learning to have a real appreciation for the differences instead of seeing it as a negative or positive in comparison to each other, you know?
Yeah.
I think exposure, you know, being here, you're exposed to so many things. There was I think they were Buddhist. I don't actually know.
They were Buddhist.
But the Buddhist people that were walking down up and down the street and making music. I mean, that's... It's not something you would see in Georgia or something. You might not see that there. Uh-uh. You know, like, so just the fact that you know, there's exposure and you see it and it's normal and you can accept it as normal because it's around us, you know, where in some places.
It's true. I used to live in Tennessee, and when we were there in third grade, there was one Asian girl, and she was just like a star. Everyone was so curious. And then I moved here. And
it was no big deal.
And it's the exposure, you know, like being around diversity and around lots of beautiful differences makes a big difference.
Mm. Yeah. And I think also, you know, some of the things that do connect us are things like, you know, we all want to be safe. We mm-hmm. want to be happy. Mm-hmm. We want to be loved. We want to fulfill our potential. We want our children to be safe and happy and fulfill their potential. And somehow that sort of gets lost in these external differences, doesn't it? Or intellectual differences, even in terms of how we think. Just wondering if you have any ideas of like why that is and what we can do about that, you know. It's maybe exposure is part of it, like you say. And
I think also one of the things that we all have in common is wanting our point of view to be seen and understood, but there has to be a willingness to see others' point of view. And I think that's where a lot of the conflict comes from, is people only wanting their side to be seen instead of reaching out and trying to understand other points of view and other beliefs as well.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important point, actually. I think, you know, that is one of the things we have in common, is to be seen, to be seen for who we really are and to be understood in that way. And if you can actually meet someone in that way, you can be really, really different and still feel connected, I think. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I've experienced that. Mm. In fact, my parents are a good example. My mother's a very devout Christian. My father's a hardcore atheist. Mm-hmm. And they have made their marriage work for almost 30 years because they have an understanding and they appreciate their differences.
Mm. That's inspiring. Yeah. Yeah. And so what do you feel that is about seeing each other, being
seen? Seeing each other, listening to each other. They discuss it sometimes, I know. Mm. And there's just a mutual respect. You know, my mom doesn't push her beliefs on him and he doesn't push his on her. They used to, but they've obviously learned how to be with each other and have those differences.
Right. Yeah. That's inspiring. Yeah, that really is. Well, thank you so much for your views. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and my on-the-street conversations. And so finally, this week, I talked to 18-year-olds Jody and Eli. Let's hear what they have to say.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
I'm Jody Waller.
I'm Eli Reyes.
Thanks so much for agreeing to talk to me for our Out and About feature. And this week we're considering, do we have more in common than divides us? If we look out in the world, obviously we can see a lot of division based on gender lines, race, religion. But I'm wondering what you think. If you think of the human race, do you think we have more in common than divides us?
I believe so. I believe that we all connect through certain like experiences and things that happen to us that we just all can share with each other.
Meet people. Do you tend to focus on how they differ from you or what you have in common, or do you not think about that at all when you meet new people?
I try and think of like what makes them individual, what makes them themselves, compared to like what makes them like super similar to me, but then I like try and find things that I can relate to myself, which will help me like open up to them or them open up to me, because that way we get on one level, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Do you ever think of yourself as defined by your humanness rather than by your gender or your religion or your ethnicity? I mean, in terms of connection, or I mean, another way of looking at that is, I mean, if we, in a non-physical way, I suppose. There's two ways of thinking of it, either in it like as a spirit, you know, and that being non-physical, or as a sort of human, we're all on the planet together, we're a global community. Do you find yourself ever thinking in that way?
Most definitely. I think of how each person has their own, like, their own body is their own vessel to me, and how you treat it is how you would treat yourself, because it is yourself. It's a reflection of who you are, like, how you take care of things, and it could also, like, help me tell how I get to, how they might treat me compared to themselves.
Yeah. I mean, because obviously we are all individual. We are all different. I mean, you know, some people are short, tall, fat, thin, you know, we're different colors, we're different religions, but I think there is something that runs through us all that can connect us. I mean, is that something that you feel, and in that sense you can feel that we have more in common in that sense, whilst also seeing that we have all these differences as well?
Yeah, I like to think that we all, like, since we're all here at once, we may as well all just, like, try and get along, try and learn something from each other while we're still here, because who knows, we might not get the chance to, like, maybe some people, like, say that we can come back to, like another body or something. Mm-hmm. So maybe just get as much, like, joy and, like, friendship out as you can while you're still alive.
Mm. What about you?
Well, I think everyone's connected in a way or another. Everyone has their own hardships, you know, you can't really... you can't always, like, know what other people know. You can't experience it, but being a human, we all have our own experiences, and it connects us in that way. It does connect us.
Yeah. Some of what we have in common is aspirations. You know, we want to be happy, we want to be loved, we want to feel appreciated, things like that. How do we feel that connection? Do you think that is through really seeing who somebody is and understanding that person? Is that how we find that connection? What creates that? Because if we just look at someone and they're completely different, you know, I'm a white woman and they're a black man, or, you know, vice versa or whatever, how do we get past the differences in physicality, of belief? What do you think helps us to feel connected?
I just, like, tend to, like, look at the person and think of them as, oh, they came here, they had their own story, they got here in whatever vehicle, like, whatever way of transportation, they got here, I'm here with them, I may as well, like, try and break it down to find out who they truly are, not based on looks or their quote-unquote identity, but based on who they present themselves with, personality-wise.
Mm. Okay.
Traits.
Well, people are only born in one way, so we all share that connection. It's since birth, we're all pretty much the same.
And we all die.
I look at someone and I don't really see them as, I don't say, like, as an individual. It's just, I see them as another person. They're just another person on the street. I don't know who they are. They don't know who I am. You can't have a connection, but by seeing someone else, like, you always make contact or you'll see them. And I guess you never know what they're thinking, but they're probably just seeing you as another person too, hopefully.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your opinions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. Thanks to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. Coming up in the second hour, my special guest from the arts is Catherine Tickell, award-winning Northumbrian piper, fiddler, composer, recording artist, and educator. So that's coming up. I'll see you after the break.